people use that? What is this guy doing?
I know, I know.
I believe this. Oh, they literally...
They bastardized
it's like,
it.
It's like a part of the Silmarils. And Morgoth stole that shit.
Yeah.
And that's what causes pretty much everything. And they're like, oh, I'm going to call my company this because we're good guys. No, you're Sourman. Ugh.
I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up. And yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlequendon. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to...
Bam! Now you know everything!
I want to talk about Palia, obviously, because I'm obsessed with it right now, and I need to get this out first. So, I've never played the cozy games, really. I've gotten bored, the fetching and the compiling, but I love Minecraft. And I think I like Minecraft because you can craft whatever you want. And
yeah,
there's still, like, baddies you have to defeat. And stuff like that. So it's like you're always discovering something. And I was really trying to get this one friend of mine to play Minecraft. And all she's like is like, I hate the way it looks. It's so pixelated. And I was like, but y'all won't hate it if you just spend 30 minutes in a world, right? Like, just get your eyeballs used to it. But she refused, obviously. And then they found Palia or Palia. And I was at first like, I don't want to like this. I'm not going to like it. You don't like Minecraft? I don't like this.
Yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah, I was like very childish already, like in my mindset. Played for 15 minutes. All of a sudden, I have 90 hours in the game. And I got it on Thursday.
Oh, my God. We need to be friends on Steam, too. I don't play, but I should again.
Yeah. So, anyway, what makes it interesting, and I think as, like, a writer, is, like, you have all these characters that you're building, like, these friendships with. And, like, anyone that plays Baldur's Gate knows, like, what you do is fun, romance, gifts. Destroying a relationship, you know, whatever. I don't think you can destroy any relationships in this one because it is cozy. You know, I don't think they
bummer.
Might. But I think they might, like, get sad if you, like, take the heart pin off or whatever. I'm not that far yet. I don't know. But I've romanced one guy, Hassian. And he was the grump and doesn't really talk to you nice. So, obviously, I had to change that. But everybody on the game loves Haradi. And I'm probably butchering these names. Like, I don't know what I'm saying. But they even make sweatshirts in the shop with his face and a heart.
Cute.
So the other part of me is like, I gotta romance that guy. I gotta see what all the fuss is about. Everybody loves him. He's probably tantalizing, right? This is the thing, though. Both the NPCs live in the same map of the world. They're like neighbors.
No.
And Hassian is like the young hunter guy who lives like in a tent, you know, whatever. And then...
You thought he was Aragorn.
Yeah. I got some Aragorn vibes. All right. I was into it. But then Haradi is the miner and he's like... A little southern, you know, so he's got like that southern charm
that
a little
twang.
Bit.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
And, hey,
he's his wife passed away. So it's just him and his daughter, you know.
Boo-hoo.
And you're like, and so like the more you get to know these characters, right? It's kind of like, oh, okay, I'm into it. But now I've created this narrative in my head that's not possible for the game. Like, there's no way. But in my head, I'm like, I'm romancing Hassian. I'm going to get him all the way up, right? And then I'm going to leave him for
the older,
tragic guy that's down the street that he thought had no chance with this young doe that just came in out of nowhere.
Young doe.
I'm like creating these things as I'm farming, collecting my crops, right? And I'm like, I bet you Hassie, it's going to be so sad when I dump him. But then I found out that you can pin two people. Like, so I could have both. I could have both. Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh, good name. But then there's also this chick from the Order that comes in, and she's really pretty. And I'm like, I don't know if she'll get a pin from me. It depends.
She's in the running.
See. But yeah, I mean, I'm only 90 hours in. Okay? Just give me a little bit of time. But it's been like really fun, and it hasn't felt like a chore. Like, you know, some of the cozy games, it's like I have to wait 500 hours for my copper to be done so I can make a pretty fence, you know?
Like, yeah.
This isn't like that.
Thank God, that's the worst part.
I know. But apparently there's a bunch out there that have like more combat, but you can make like a whole village pretty. People have been like telling me now, and I'm like, do not give me something new. I literally just told you I spent 90 hours of my life in 1 week, less than a week, on one game, and you want to give me another obsession? And I have to write a book, and I have to put together an anthology, and I'm like doing all this other shit. I don't have time.
And to herd all these cats.
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, come here, little cat.
Oh my God. Yes. So we can expect some more lives, Palia lives on TikTok is what I'm anticipating.
I feel like instead of Diablo, like I was really enjoying Diablo. I was like, I'm going to redo it. I'm going to refresh on the story. Everybody's talking about Lilith. We talked about Lilith. Yeah. And of course, the writers of Diablo they do her story like fictional justice, you know, but they still have her as, you know, part of the evil, which, you know, I don't agree with. But I thought I was going to get resucked into that, but then this just fell into my lap. And now
Blonde
I'm like,
Dawn.
Nope, can't do it. And I keep telling myself, I probably spent that much time on Overwatch before because I pretty much did the same routine. Play, write a little, play, write a little. So I feel like it's about the same. It's just maybe I could squeeze in some chores, like real life chores, not virtual chores.
Yeah, fat chance. At least if you're anything like me.
No, I folded half of my laundry basket. Half.
I've done none. Okay, so the clothes that I wore this week are out of the laundry pile, the clean laundry pile on the middle of my floor.
Well, sometimes I need to see the clothes. Okay, I need them in the basket. If they're hanging up and away from me, I forget I own them.
Get
this. I like to see them.
Totally on board with you. I have no excuse, though, because that used to be my excuse. I put up hanging wardrobes, almost like built-ins, but like overlaid on the wall of this dressing slash laundry room. They're all open. There's like this beautiful, like, oak wood open. Clothes could be minimalist. Aesthetically arranged, and they're all on the floor.
Oh my God.
It doesn't work, basically.
No. Yeah. No, I have maybe a few things that get hung up, you know, where I'm like, okay, they can't get wrinkled, right? Yeah. But they still live in my laundry basket, and then they're wrinkled, and then I hang them up, and I'm like, maybe gravity will work. Yeah. I don't know. I need to update my wardrobe, and we were talking about it a little last time with the Venus and the rising. Obviously it was fishing because I need to like update and, you know, now that I'm leaving one career and kind of like trying to present myself differently. But I don't want to lose personality, but I definitely like I'm going back to semi-corporate, you know, when I think about it, like an author kind of thing, like got to get a nice blazer or something.
Oh my
Any
God.
Excuse for a jacket, dude.
Power suit. Yeah.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if we got matching power suits for our bookstore thing?
Wait, pinstripes, but off color. Like my pinstripes are your basic like background and vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll just be like Tim and Eric bit vibe, you know, where we're just like walking around like everything about it makes me so happy.
Please. Yes.
So I have a zip patch on today. I don't know. You didn't ask about it. So I don't know if you're just being polite or you're like, who cares about a zip patch?
I mean, I don't care. I think they're great. I've done interviews of people with them on. Like the people come to their interviews for work, not for author things with them on. And it's just okay. You know, like I thought it was just normal now. Is it not?
Well, I hope it is because I keep getting this one Mount Vesuvius just like every reoccurring. It refuses to erupt, though. It just comes and then it goes back down and I can, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I never thought at 34 I would still have like this.
Well, you've been stressed.
Yeah. I guess, but I'm ready.
Do you do nervous like things?
No, I don't. I don't touch my face. Maybe I do that. Actually, I probably just did that like 2 seconds ago.
I think you did.
Yeah, I definitely. But I mean, like, I don't pick. I'm not a picker.
Oh, yeah. No. Just resting and then like that dirt.
Yeah.
Mine was like here underneath where my glasses sit. And it just would not go away, but finally did.
Sometimes I get one like in the creases of my nose and I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
Like, this is body. Not the vibe.
Like, you know, when you learned about monks and like them channeling chi to certain places and then you like they like control their body and breathing and like heartbeat and stuff. Sometimes when I lie awake at night, I just want to channel my chi to like get rid of the fuckery on my face.
This was me, but for Jedi as a very young child.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Trying to get the remote to come to you.
Trying to channel the force. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel it within.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something like that. Because, you know, sometimes mind over matter, like, is a true thing, right? Like,
yeah, of
getting
course.
Out there, you know? So once it happens one time, I'm like, maybe I'm powerful.
It's legit. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, just going to sit here and think about it. Do you watch Love Island?
No, ma'am.
These are the things I was bringing to you today.
Please. Because silver platter.
I was bringing these because I feel like the last couple episodes, the world's on fire. We're feeling it. You know, the girls were fighting.
And this is all I've got for you today. So please take the reins.
And I'm like, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to something that maybe brings some joy. More immediate joy.
Love that idea.
Say, you know? So Love Island. I've been a big fan of Love Island since I found it like a few years ago and I binged like every single Love Island that exists, like Australia, UK, and then America had one. And the last season, the US blew up because there was this group of girls. They were really great. Everybody loved them, you know, as much as any Love Islander, right? I mean, it's not like a crazy A-list celebrity or whatever.
Gotcha.
But I watched this one girl think last season on season 6, you watched this girl, Leah, think that everybody hated her, that America hated her and that like everybody was mad at her. But we all knew who the real bad guy was. And she was actually kept around until the finals. And
oh,
she,
well, yeah.
She went from like a couple thousand followers to like a million followers. She came out of the villa to a million. And it was just came out of the villa. Now, okay. You have a little history.
Okay. And I've got it up over here. 12 seasons, dude.
Yeah. For UK.
Oh, okay.
Nothing for US. I think US is on 7.
Okay.
But that's okay because UK, I think it originated in UK. And then, you know, Australia and US, we all kind of share ideas.
Gotcha.
So, you know. But the cast for US, what happens is when you go to the island, when you go to the villa and you meet the original players or the original Islanders, you're supposed to couple up. But you're not supposed to couple up in like a concrete boyfriend, girlfriend, no talking to anybody else. Like it's the one place you're allowed to just mix and mingle and no one can get mad at you, right?
Okay.
But people, since it's been out for so long, people are now kind of understanding. If you're with the same person from day one and you're loyal, you look good. So, you know, they like, so people have learned to play the game because you win money at the end. Like,
oh, okay.
If you're the final couple, like, that gets voted, right?
Okay.
So these two people, they're being talked about all over the internet. And all over on my algorithm because I'm a Love Island person.
There's right? Dan.
So there's this chick, Huda, and this guy,
wait.
Jeremiah.
This has made its way over to me. Bring it on. Okay.
Okay.
I'm so invested. Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay. So Huda is a single mom, and she made the choice to not say anything about her daughter right away because, and a part of me understands because you don't want to lead with that. People judge mothers harshly all the time.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, oh, her daughter's going to watch her, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, you think that these other people are sterile and never going to have children? Like, they're probably going to have babies and then end up watching the show. And it's the same, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. No one looks like an angel. I mean, there's a couple that do look really good and are very kind and seem very genuine. But most of them, they're there for the drama. They're there to do it. They have producers in their ears telling them to go which way. They're cutting the show for a story. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing it on purpose. Reality TV needs a villain, right?
Need an
arc. So Jeremiah definitely love bombed in the beginning, and it was very obvious because and I think most people know that he would have done that with any girl, like any girl that went up and like made out with him the first time. In his head, his game plan was, OK, this is the chick. Oh, and she's hot. So it's great. Okay. I got a hot chick making out with her. I'm going to feign this loyalty type of thing. And he kept purposely saying things like, I'm not going to talk to anybody else. And did that guy pull you? And you know, like seem kind of a little bit weird, but setting up expectations.
Invested. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, okay, I'm really all about him. He's all about me. And she tells him that she has a kid. But he has a normal reaction, which is like, whoa. I need a second because now it's changing. But I don't think it's normal reaction because he's like this guy that's into her and now he needs to like sort out like just how into her he is. I think now he's like, if I go all the way with her to the end and I'm not feeling it, now I'm gonna have her family and her daughter judging the shit out of me. And now keep in mind, no other guy on the island knows she has a kid. So anyway, that all happens 3 days into the fucking villa. 3 days. She's telling me she has a kid. They're talking about like future plans.
That seems pretty quick. That seems like the right amount of speed, if not a little accelerated. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're spending a lot of time together, I guess. But
Right, exactly. So, like, you can believe the romance to a certain point because you're trapped in the villa. You're living together with these people. You see what you like and what you don't like, kind of right away. So for you to feel like you're falling in love with somebody, it makes sense because you've been living with them and kissing them and cuddling them. Go bonding, like everything is bonding in there. So like that part makes sense. What doesn't make sense is that Jeremiah kept saying over and over again that he doesn't want to talk to any of the other girls. Like he doesn't want to get to know any of the other girls. And these girls are hot. These girls are all over him. These girls, you should at least be tempted to test yourself. Like that's the whole thing. Like you test your relationship on the island, right? And then you see if they come back to you. Now, it does seem like I'm shitting all over Jeremiah, and it's rightfully so because we need this backstory. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Because now, Huda reminds me of a younger me when I am crashing out or I'm splitting because the man that I'm seeing isn't following the script I have for them in my head. And when I was younger, I'd be like, why don't you just freaking do this stuff, dude? Like, I don't understand. Like, why do I have to tell you to take me on a date? Why do I have to tell you to do like romantic cute stuff? Like, why do I have to tell you to do stuff? Do you like me or what? Right? Except turn it up 1,000 degrees, screaming and
puberty,
like, you know, like, yeah. And frental lobe, not fully developed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
no control.
Yeah. And in the villa, that's 10 times worse because you're constantly on eggshells. The bomb is coming in, the like bombshell. She's like, it's usually a girl or guy that's super hot, that's single, you know, whatever, coming into the villa, talking to everybody, seeing if there's cracks in relationships, trying to get them, you know, to couple up with them. And usually the bomb gets to choose who they get to couple up with. Well, this time they left it in America's hands and America was all like, you know what? We're sick and tired of the toxic shit of Jeremiah and Huda. So we're going to beat them apart. But this girl is actively crashing out and splitting because he keeps saying things like, I don't even think that girl's attractive. Okay, are you blind, dude? What? They're all attractive. Like, calm down. But he's like, keeps saying all this stuff. And she keeps taking it as like reassurance. Like, yes. Now, she nitpicks. Like, it makes you cringe. You know, like, why do you got to be up all in his business about this? Like, he didn't make you a pancake, dude. Calm down, you know. But she's calling him names from across the villa, like all this
spicy
stuff, screaming. Anyway, she's getting a lot of hate. And people from Love Island have offed themselves after because of the vitriol that they come back to. And if this chick is splitting or crashing out or, you know, whatever, maybe she's just stressed out because producers are in her ear telling her, like, you shouldn't stand for that. Go do that. Go talk to him.
Instigating. You
know? Yeah. Then she's going to come out and it's going to be like a super ego death because, like, she's already having mini ego deaths. Then she's going to come out and see what people have been saying about her. I just really feel bad for her because
yeah, of course.
I feel like she's not representing herself. And I feel bad for Jeremiah because maybe I've said it before, right? Monsters, narcissists, abusers, they don't know that they're necessarily being a toxic person while they're doing this stuff. But I definitely think he came in with a game plan. I don't think she came in with a game plan. I think he came in with the game plan and all the guys are calling him out on it, you know, like calling him fake and all this stuff. And I'm like, if that's happening, boys clubs are tight. And if that's happening and they don't even want Huda themselves, then So it's been kind of like a really interesting season so far. I highly If you haven't watched any Love Island and any of this sounded interesting, I highly recommend watching it because it's good trash TV, good for characters because they all do extreme actions, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're struggling with your writing at all and you're like, what would my character do? Just watch a reality TV show. They're going to flip a table. Like, you know, like anything that you think isn't. Yeah. So like anything you think isn't a possibility, it probably is. Like, listen to true crime, watch trash TV. You got a story right there.
Amazing. I love that. I miss Teresa Giudice.
Yeah, I loved The Real Housewives of Orange County, New Jersey, like all the original ones.
Yeah,
like,
New York.
New York. I loved it. I forget the person, the one who wrote like that tell-all book, and they all like hated her. I think it was in New Jersey.
Oh,
and
God.
I think that's why Teresa like flips the table.
Is that why?
Because they were like at her reunion or something. I don't know. Like there was a big event happening. And I just remember being like, oh, the mob. Yes. It's a tell-all about the mob.
I love it.
I'm like, she's going to be swimming with the fishes. Like,
oh my right God.
Because I think when it came out, I was like 16 or something, you know, and I'm watching it and I'm like, this is crazy.
Yes. And like, this is what formed our frontal cortex, by the way. So like, this is how we think for the longest time that like normal life is, like normal mm-hmm. adult life.
Yeah, I'm like, and I even some adults, like, I remember when it came out and like my mom would say stuff like, they're watching too much of that reality TV. They think that we need to fight about everything. We don't need to fight about everything.
That's so funny. I can picture Margie saying that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Very serious.
So you were looking up Palantir. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, well, it's named after Lord of the Rings, so it's whatever that is. Palantir or Palantir, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, you might know.
I know.
I have an expert right here.
I'm not good at pronunciation. I'm not good at, you heard me just talking about Palia. Is it Palia? Palia? Paella? I don't know. I just talk. And something comes out that sounds kind of like it. And then people kind of look at me and I go, I might have said that wrong.
Yeah.
And then I kind of wait for them to correct me. But then if they don't correct me, then I'm like, I'll just say it different next time.
Gotcha. There's no, Palia, there's no rules for that. There's nothing like it that you can compare it to. I was reading some articles about Palantir and their partnership with OpenAI and people wanting to jettison themselves out of ChatGPT subscriptions and that sort of thing, even at like the enterprise level, because what this means, how familiar are you with the tech group Palantir?
I know them from passing articles. I know them from, you know, data breaching, I guess is a word. Maybe not like breaching in the way, but like people worried that they're like a monopoly or like trying to come in. I could be conflating two different. There's a lot of tech stuff going on right now.
This is forever. Our lives now.
Yeah. You know, I try to keep up with it. And but between the tech bros in the White House, the tech bros in Silicon Valley, that one guy who like hates all news sources. I forget his name. But he's a part of like the Orange Man's team, or is he part of Elon's team? I don't know.
He was all up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just know like that people were concerned that they had access and have been having access to things that they necessarily didn't disclose. But again, I could be conflating two tech things.
So, yeah, very right along those lines. So Peter Thiel, who has a very tight history with Mr. Musk.
I think that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, Peter Thiel. T-H-I-E-L or something.
He wants to come after every... He hates the media. He hates being reported on. And, I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Right? In the limelight. But it makes people are starting to be like, why don't you want people investigating you? Like, what are you hiding in your basement?
He's not really hiding anything. He just has like this condom. I think from past statements dating all the way back to like early 2000s, early 2010s, where he is, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't know his quotes, but where he is asserting things like when we extended suffrage, so the right to vote to women. This was the beginning of the end for capitalist democracy. When he's saying things like that, and then also saying,
we're not going to talk about Reagan and all that. We're just going to say women have the right to vote. So that's the problem. Not the fact that our middle class is completely slashed. We're just going to focus on rights. Okay. All right.
And it's because of this. So this gives a little more flavor of exactly how much of a villain this guy is. So in 2010, he was saying at a podium at this place called, what was the event called? Libertopia or something like this. The 2010s were a wild time, right? So at this event, he is saying things like he is glad that basically the future is becoming one that the technology is available to people like him and people attending this event to be able to craft the future that they want independent of popular vote, which means they do not have to wait for any of their favorite ideas for how to build the future to become popular and embraced by all. Instead, they can basically, and again, this is me paraphrasing, instead, they can basically subjugate the masses to something that they aren't agreeing to because he thinks he knows better.
Oh, so he's like one of those villains that are like, I can fix the world, just give me the tools. But then he blames women.
Let's like see how these two things relate, right? So he blames women and other folks because there's also this immigration thing that plays into Palantir's recent moves, which we can talk about if you want or not, because it's sad as F. It's sad as all get out. But he blames women in that prior statement because you're basically muddying the democratic pool. So the citizens that are participating in a democracy are now twice the size, and it's going to skew the results, the right results, people thinking the right way, because this huge additional group is being included now in the decision making. That's why he thinks women and everyone else are the end of capitalist democracy. Capitalist democracy is fucking red herring anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like a couple of buzzwords strung together to fearmonger or make people be like, you know what, I've been hating capitalism, or, you know, this is all we know. So I'm scared now because, like, what's it going to look like? Ugh, God, why
just
do they
the
keep...
grossest guy.
So I've seen a lot of videos because we had talked about flawed villain accidentally, like. And it was before all this like drama.
You were ahead of the curve. Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, okay, my little like spidey senses, I'm glad they went off when they did. Because although she was talking a good game in the beginning, to find out that she's pretty much like stolen all of her content from somebody else that happens to be a woman of color, which is like, another woman and you're talking about feminist things, like, that's like kind of poo-pooed. But anyway.
And then also just not recognizing lots of people, women of color.
Exactly. Like, or it's like when we talk about it all the time when it comes to writing and stuff, like, of course, like have a diverse cast of friends, but don't take away from somebody else's voice. Like, there are plenty of awesome people of color books out there, and like from all different types of categories, for lack of better terminology.
Yeah, demographics. Yeah.
Demographics. There we go. I was like, why can't I think of that word? But there's so many out there already. You don't need to add in, like, I don't need to add in my white voice to a main
create
character.
A hero. Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. But of course, it would be really boring to, and it is, to read a book that's all just one type of person, you know, yeah. all the yep. time. But anyway, they're in this fight, right?
Yeah.
Squad Villain is like fighting with the entirety of the internet, it feels like, besides the people that are on her side. But what keeps coming
there up. There are a lot of people on her side. That's crazy, the numbers.
I know, but she's lost over 100,000 followers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And but these, I think there's like three main creators that are talked about as being like those that have really risen through feminist and talking about, you know, common sense things that we all talk about. And it's great to hear. And they teach it very nicely, very respectful to each other. And then Vaude Villain kind of came out of the woodwork saying the same exact things, but then slowly but surely she was running out of content because they took it away from her. So the person that she was copying, I think her name's Cecilia.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she went off TikTok. She's like, no, you're not taking my stuff anymore. And
bye.
Put it behind these things. So now she has nothing to say. And then she was, then so Vaude Villain's on this live and they give her room to talk. She has literally nothing she can say because she doesn't have an original idea. Anyway, this is not what I was trying to get to. There's this creator that's like the rise of conservatism, right? It's been talked about. We talk about modesty clothing, trad wives, like the propaganda that is always spread from both sides of the aisle kind of happens when we're at like the mass correction, right? We're swinging to a mass correction. But I think it also has to do with like a lot of these tech bro billionaires. Like if you think about like Zuckerberg, right? He was so young when he created Facebook, or whether he created it, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like he's coined that term. He was so young. And when you're, and they always say, you become more conservative the older you get, right? Especially men. And I think we can kind of tell why men might become more conservative with age. Is very patriarchal, right? It's very much status quo. But now all these tech bros are now reaching a point of being old. And they're getting more conservative. And because they're becoming more conservative and they're worrying about legacy and worrying about hiding their shit from the inheritance police and taxation and, you know, whatever, and becoming more and more like gross with greed, their influence on us in terms of social media and in terms of algorithms and in terms of whatever is also pushing a conservative narrative. So we're going to be seeing it swinging because they've lost their youth and they're having a midlife crisis.
This is the tech bro billionaire version of a drop top.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, you know, I could afford everything else on the planet. Why not afford the planet?
It makes the control even more insidious, right? Control without consent, like already is.
Yeah. But. And we're already in an age where privacy is pretty much nothing, even not necessarily even just from government entities, right? Like privacy for ourselves from our neighbors, like they type in our name, they Google us, they can find a lot of information. There's a lot of public information out there. So privacy that has changed, right? Like what it is and the expectations of it. And to imagine somebody blatantly being like, well, I'm going to do what I want. And you're just going to have to like it because I'm richer than you.
It's the same old song and dance with a few more wires and ones and zeros.
Yeah. And now it's, I mean, I think, okay, not to bring it back to Fulton Millen, because I'm about to talk about propaganda. And she was like, you can thank Obama for making propaganda legal or something.
Shut the fuck up.
And I was like, are you forgetting John Adams? John Adams was the first person to be like, we can use this to win the White House. He was on record. I mean, I'm sure there was other,
of course,
people of power that have always woven lies about their competition, all in terms of, I'm better, so I'm going to do a whole more wholesome job, you know. Mm-hmm. But education.
What a dingus.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I heard that and I was like, how old are you to think that our history begins in a certain with Obama?
As soon as she said libertarian,
mm-hmm,
and then conflated libertarianism with centrism, I'm like, oh, my God, this girl just doesn't know.
Mm-mm. And I was like, I remember when I used to think I was a libertarian.
And that's okay. Everybody has some kind of phase.
Right. And also, whatever you believe in, you could define yourself as something and not fully understand what you're defining yourself as. And that's like the
big
thing.
All the time.
Yeah. Think about puberty, you, right? Like, you're trying to look a certain way constantly because you
like J-Lo.
Oh, you wanted to look like J-Lo?
I loved the big earrings and the corduroy hat, everything.
Oh, I love that.
So cute.
I wanted to look scary. So I wanted to be very punked out. I wanted to be very off the wall. I wanted to be like, you're not like this. But
so cool.
But very much not cool. Like, I wasn't bullied or anything. I don't have a traumatic story, but I definitely bully my past self and now pretentious. I definitely thought I like am or was. But to me, that's what political parties are sometimes. I'm just like, you're just trying to really, really belong somewhere.
Yeah.
And you just need to understand that at the end of the day, it's human, right? Or humanity, global citizens, you know, whatever helps you. Like, you don't need to have, like, your brain in this box of, like, I'm goth and we like this and we also like this, but we can never like this. And it's like,
it's also really great just to be goth.
Yeah, I of course.
Yeah.
I love that. I wish I could still pull off like a goth look.
Right? That's what, like, we need to do for our little rendezvous fun event stuff. We should be corpo goths.
Yeah.
So cute.
Corporate sirens just coming in.
Oh my God, no. It's so true though. It's going back to like belonging to a subculture, belonging to a counterculture, even however different each of them are from each other, or the different nuances of how they distinguish themselves from each other, the best thing that any one person can do, regardless of whatever their opinions are, is to learn earnestly about as much as they can about all these different types of things so that the thing that you choose will be the truest.
Right. And it's okay to change. Like, that's the whole point. And it's okay to not enjoy everything from something that you thought was you and you thought was an okay thing. I mean, that's how you defend yourself against a cult, right? Like, if you go in with this rigid thinking, it's much easier to manipulate you than if you are just going with the flow of things and you're like, I'm surveying this right now. I'm letting it sink in. I'm not going to tell you a yes or no. It's not a definitive action. I am like, I don't know yet. If somebody doesn't let you not know, that's a red flag.
Yeah. Ooh, somebody doesn't let you not know. Love it. What's this world that we live in, huh? Oh my God, this one creator, I can't remember her name. I'll try to link it if I remember, but she was like, because we were just talking about counterculture and stuff like that. She was like, oh, I know why they call you the Proud Boys. Because no one in their right mind would call you Brave Men or something like that. I was like, ooh, pissy.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sagittarius full moon, right? Nope. Okay. So I don't know if you saw like the Care Bear Stare stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it's on like the witchy side of TikTok and definitely on, it's like when like all powers united, right? And everybody's been talking about No King's Day for a long, like gearing up for it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but that night, like I was, it was like 3 a.m. Okay. Because I'm a vampire. Okay. That's just who I am now.
It's okay.
But I'm like scrolling and like they're, No King's Day feed is coming up. And the amount of chills that I felt that night, I think that's also a part of why I'm feeling so drained is because I have been thinking a lot about wanting things to change, to be safer, you know, in general, and like just wanting people to be safe and be able to be happy. Like I just, you know, we want some relief, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're saying... Of course, I have to bring a conspiracy because I love them.
We thrive on this.
So they're saying that because of how much energy every single person that loves the arts, right? The dark arts.
Oh, okay.
You know, whatever.
I didn't know if you meant arts.
I was like, wait, everybody who's got a little altar going or like a little manifestation going, and a lot of it is being directed to a happier, healthier, right? And there's an obvious thing standing in our way of being happy, healthier, and wealthier. So everybody is sort of this energy. And now they're saying that like we may have all shifted, like, that night, like shifted together. Now, I don't fully understand shifting. I know a little bit about it because I've watched a lot of videos or whatever. I don't actually practice because knowing me, I'd shift my ass into some like van by the river. Okay. Oh my God. Be like, it would not be good. But the chills I felt and the energy switch I felt, it was sort of an undeniable feeling. But I am susceptible to those feelings, and I know I am. Delusion is just around the corner for me. So I try to keep myself in check a little. But
yeah, TikTok is difficult for that because the algorithm powers be so strong, and then ChatGPT as well.
All those people asking about their ChatGPT, like, will you spare me? Have you seen these?
Oh, yeah. Have you tried it?
No, I don't have ChatGPT.
It can be funny, it can be scary, it can be sad, but
I haven't gotten to know my robot. I say
your robot overlord.
I know. I say thank you. I don't even have Siri set up on my phone.
I mean, it's probably a good idea to start making friends with your government issued robot because Palantir is now going to be all of our overlords. So, like, the funkiest thing, the most dystopian thing about this Palantir news is that the CEOs, I think, or maybe CTOs of Meta, OpenAI, and something else, some other huge, like, tech company, all of them were on stage. Did you see them in their military fatigues? They were being sworn in or whatever, saluting as lieutenant colonels of some kind of detached, like reserve.
Why do we keep making these things? We just talked about this last time. Why do we keep making more?
This just happened.
Army jobs.
I think like this just happened too. I was just seeing this pushed to my feed. So like, you're gonna start probably, especially now that I'm saying it, or like if you start looking at, it's gonna be pushed to your phone and stuff like that. But it's just so crazy. Those are the last people that you want making decisions for the Department of Defense, because this is like predictive policing. Have you seen like the movie? I like to relate it to this for people that like have no interest in tech or like just aren't in that world. Have you seen Minority Report?
I was just going to say, I was like, yes! It sounds like
the precogs.
Yeah.
Perfect. Due for a rewatch. Scary.
I loved that movie. I would watch that movie over and over again.
Yeah.
And I loved iRobot too.
I haven't watched that as much, but I would rewatch that too.
I haven't either. But I remember being like, oh, he's dreaming.
Yeah.
And then that was a big thing for me.
that's the reality that we're living in. And the issue is that Peter Thiel and Palantir also are so heavily embedded in these ICE raids that this software is what leads the decisions for those raids and things like that. So participating in the AI that will now be, I think next week maybe, participating in future Palantir development is immoral.
Right. So he is using his AI to find undocumented or people that have come illegally.
Think of it this way, like strategically figuring out the best ways to approach things like, what did they dub it? I was just reading this, so it hasn't sunk in yet. I'm the type of person that needs a little bit of time, like immigrant OS or something like that, like software that is predictive that can help guide decisions for things like raids or overall how to strategize raids coupled with other things for like, domestic citizens.
Yeah, for like
this is going to be a full scale. Yeah, this is going to be a full scale like plan.
Well, I hate that. So, oh my God,
there's nothing else to say.
I feel like I've been hearing my whole life that something, you know, distrust government. But you know who I heard it the most from are the Republicans in my family, right?
Oh God, yeah.
And now you have this, but because they have their leader, their winner up there, they're okay with it? I just don't understand.
They don't know. News is not covering this. You have to really be interested in this to know it. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to spin it a different way for a different audience if they want to accept it.
I hate this. And, okay, we learned about this in school, right? Illiteracy and how it's easy to control an illiterate population, right?
Media literacy and critical thinking.
Right. And now we have a whole new type of literacy. And we were taught it in school when the computers first came out. We were taught how to tell propaganda, spam websites, phishing. It wasn't called those things at the time, but we were kind of taught as kids to avoid like these links to click on that would have malware and stuff on there, right? Yeah. And the generation, well, not the generation directly before us, right? Because my mom is very media literate and very tech literate. But her mom, no. So like the boomers did not get taught anything to be media literate, right? They really got thrown into tech because their kids and grandkids were into it. And now we have this huge generation of people who don't know how to discern anything.
So my thing goes, yes, I remember when we were taught that. However, I don't think we were ever taught the full picture. We were taught enough to be able to determine like right from left and certain things within the context of the definitions of reality provided to us by a corporate capitalist state. So I don't think, I mean, think about it in these terms. Like, remember we were just talking about on another episode, only ever learning about Martin Luther King and Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a prime example. So like, we're not ever going to know about like these radical movers and shakers that were actually enacting change or like the reality that might make it seem like we're painting the U.S. in a bad light, even if maybe they were the person or entity at fault in certain foreign exchanges.
Exactly. But I think like the stepping stone to get there was that key component that we were taught, right? Because it opened up a want for more information and having that access to that information in a way that now they're trying to compartmentalize and control with algorithms, right? Like the reason your algorithm shows you what you like you could be like, I actively search protests. I actively search for a lot of different things that are not innately shown to me because the algorithm still chooses what it wants me to be entertained by and for me to see. So like those things definitely shifted, I think. And now, of course, I have a kid's lens on, right? I have a teenager lens on. I wasn't exactly rebelling until I was a late bloomer, like I am in everything. So I really wasn't actively rebelling against systems because I really didn't understand the systems until I was actually a teacher and I saw the curriculum and I learned something new. I learned about, I'm going to pronounce her name wrong, Sojourner. I think it's Sojourner Truth.
Sojourner.
Sojourner. And I learned about her story in particular about her child being held from her. And like I was crying as I was learning about it because it was just such, it was so sad and so like gross and like the way it was horrifying. And I was like, I had no idea about any of this because until a certain point, you're taught that Thomas Jefferson was a good slave owner. And like, you're taught that like, he was actually really kind to his slaves and like, he did this. And you're taught that in school, right? And then when you get out and then you realize like, holy, wait a minute, that does not make any sense. Like, it's like your frontal lobe develops and then you get the information again and you're like, whoa, 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 that does, these two things should never be in the same sentence. And then you learn about all these horrific stories and then you learn about the systems and then you learn about how the systems never really actually went away at all. And new ones like this Palantir, and it's annoying to me now that I know it's Lord of the Rings, do not come for my Lord of the Rings. Tolkien would never. Tolkien was against industrialization.
Here we go.
Oh, are you kidding me? If Tolkien was alive and he found out that you're creating this conglomerate of tech, you going into precious minerals of our earth to in order to like fulfill some Sauron bullshit, he is pissed at you. Like, you're Sauron trying to take over the freaking Shire.
That's right. Do you want one final thought on this now that you've leavened it up? But I think it's a good, like, positive conspiracy, perhaps. So you were just saying that you think that being taught media literacy, and critical thinking were stepping stones to be able to formulate and potentially, like, open one's eyes to a real reality, right? Instead of a manufactured reality. I think the next stepping stone, the second stepping stone after that, was the internet. And that is why that first stepping stone was removed.
Yeah.
Because now we're flooded. And so there's a way to remedy that. We just have to fight for it. So.
Right. And now, and there, it's that double-edged sword. And I feel like they funnel in rage bait the way they do to make you tired of the internet in a way, or make you feel like there's no use for the internet, right? There's no use for this tech. Let us formulate it for you. Let us design it so you never have to feel anything ever again other than happy biscuits. I just think about biscuit making.
Yeah, happy biscuits. Yeah. I love that. That's our code word now for propaganda.
Yeah.
Happy
biscuits. This looks like happy biscuits.
Yes.
This is like what couples do when they want to like leave a party.
Leave the party.
Like the kettle's going off. Hear the kettle whistling.
It's that look. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I think, yeah, fight the happy biscuits. That's the lesson today. There is a way out. Things may be burning, but we can put this fire out. We have to be mindful, I think. And I think that's what I'm just trying to like tell myself and prop up others and tell them it too.
Yeah. And I think things have to burn in order for regrowth to happen. So it's just making sure we're being, I don't want to say systematic because I feel like I say systems. I feel like I've said systems 50 million times, but
that's my job.
But we have to be, you know, thoughtful, purposeful in where we're directing the fires. And I do believe like every protest that has happened and everything else opens up these conversations that are so important. And I really believe that's why Tech Time with Nico is an important segment on BAM, because I would never have known that, because I look at tech jargon and sometimes Nico sends me stuff and I'm like,
sorry,
I don't know what this means, but I'm going to pretend. Okay. But you do that, and then I learn something, and then I'm bringing it to other conversations in the way I converse about things, which is hyperbolic and sarcastic and making
entertainingly
people, like, you know, listen to me, dude. This is what's freaking happening, you know, like that kind of thing. It kind of helps me also. So I'm not just at the party talking about Indie Creator Collective and Forbidden Fruit and Palia now. So
that's all we got. Yeah.
That's all I got. That's all I got in my brain.
Can't wait to play that game.
All right. Well, this has been Bam. Now you know everything. I'm on my way to go make a batch of happy biscuits.
Oh, thanks for joining. Look down below for our projects. Bye.
Bye.